Good morning, church family. So glad to have you here at First Baptist Church of Glenville, especially here in the splash section in just a moment. We are so thankful to start our service off by celebrating the act of baptism. Before I invite Miss Riley May down here, I just want to share what baptism is and isn't. Baptism is an expression of our faith. Baptism is a way that we express our obedience to Jesus Christ by following in what he has done. Baptism is not saving. It is not cleansing of sins, and it is not needed to trust in Jesus. However, I always say this to children who come and talk with me. What better way to start off your faith journey than by following in obedience of what Jesus Christ has told you to do? So this morning, I'm going to invite Miss Riley Mae Mack to come down. And in a moment, I'm going to ask Riley Mae, come on. Okay. I'm going to ask Miss Riley Mae if she has trusted in Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And when she says yes, I want you to celebrate like your least favorite college football team has just lost early in the season, okay? I want you to celebrate like nothing else ever before, because there's nothing more glorious and celebratory than someone coming to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, I want us to celebrate good and powerful things like this young lady trusting in Jesus, okay? So Riley Mae, you can take another shot for it. Is it true that you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? She said yes. Let's celebrate, church. Well, Riley Mae, it is my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
Morning, everyone. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we welcome you to First Baptist Church. If you look in the pew in front of you, there's welcome visitors cards. If you will, take one of those cards and fill them out and drop it in the offering plate whenever the plate comes by. That gives us a little information about you. That way we can follow up with you. I encourage you to take your bulletin, and there's a lot of good information in there in the upcoming weeks about things going on. We got graduation Sundays and muffins with mom and all that good stuff happening in our church. Our Mays usually get a little busy. But anyways, I'd also encourage you to, we have a youth pastor search committee and our music pastor search committee are going on. Lord was faithful in bringing us Brother Brandon, and I know he'll do the same with our other two pastors. So just when you think about it, y'all lift those committees up in prayer. And let's be diligent seeking God's face for these committees. All right, now I'll open us up in a word of prayer, and we will get started with worship. Father God, we thank you for the beautiful day that you bless us with, Lord. We thank you for the sunshine, Father. We thank you for filling our lungs with your air, Father, and waking us up this morning, Lord. Father, we thank you for bringing us this place this morning. That way we can worship you, the one true living God, Father. Father, I pray that we don't take this time lightly, Lord. It's humbling to know that the God of the universe longs for us, longs to have a relationship with us, Father God. Father, you are the living waters, Father. We welcome you in this place today, Father. We pray that everything that we do be honoring and glorifying to you, Father God. Lord, we just want to lift up our search committees that are meeting, Lord. We just pray for discernment for each one of those folks that make up the committee, Lord. And we thank you for their willingness to serve you in that aspect, Father God. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for being our God, Father. Amen.
Good morning. And my welcome to everybody else's. I'm glad you're here this morning. You specifically. I'm glad you are here. I want you to stand with me as we sing Praise to the Lord the Almighty. Praise to the Lord the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, so praise Him, for He is thy help and salvation. All ye who hear,
shelters thee under his wings, yet so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires e'er have been granted in what he ordaineth?
Now I want you to turn to the folks around you and welcome them in the name of the Lord, please. Okay, join me for the third verse.
Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely his goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the if with his love he befriend thee. Praise to the Lord, oh let all that is in me adore him. All that hath life and breath, come now with praises before.
Celebrate the goodness of God this morning.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Oh, hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am.
Come on down. I got caught up in my praise and worship. We're going to have a time of prayer, and then our men are going to take up an offering.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings you have given us, Lord. Bring back a portion. Lord, bless us as we give it. Do it as you would, do with it as you would see fit. Be a blessing today, and thank you for the wonderful event that just happened. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
morning again, church family. As we are about to pray, I encourage you to open up to the book of James, chapter 1. If you did not bring your Bible this morning, there are Bibles in front of you where you can open up to the book of James, chapter 1. The book of James is near the end of the Bible. It is after Hebrews, and I'll give you a moment to find it as we kind of build up and talk about what we discussed last week. As we began the book of James last week, we saw that James is a very explicit book. What do I mean by this? I don't mean it's graphic in content. I mean that everything James says is clear as day. Do this. Don't do this. Do this. This will happen. Don't do this. This won't happen. And all of these things, James is very succinct and clear about what he's talking through. And so here's what I encourage you to do today as we are about to read the rest of James chapter 1. I encourage you to go back if you missed last week and read through it because it really builds into what we're talking through today. In a moment after I pray, we are going to read through the remainder of James chapter 1 beginning in verse 16. And then we'll dig back into it once we go through it again. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your mercies that are new every single morning. Lord, I pray this morning as we have gathered for worship through obedience and baptism, worship through prayer, worship through gathering together, and worship through singing and reading your word. Would you pierce our hearts this morning, God? Would you break our hearts for what breaks yours? And would you remind us of who we are and whose we are? Lord, would you remind us of our identity in you and our security in you always? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are. Your Bible is probably sectioned off at verse 19. And you're probably thinking, well, why are you going back to 16? Well, I think it's actually a more natural stop here. And I'm not trying to say I'm smarter than who divided the Bible. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is as we are covering this content verse by verse, I believe this is a really good starting place for us in verse 16. So let's begin reading James chapter 1, verse 16. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. By his own choice, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 19, my dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer who works, this person will be blessed in what he does. Just a second. If anyone thinks he is religious without controlling his tongue, his religion is useless and he deceives himself. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Let's begin. Let's go back to verse 16. It says this, do not be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. What a timely command to us. Do not be deceived. One of the greatest tasks of the apostles. Now keep in mind, the apostles were those who were disciples of Jesus who directly saw Jesus. You could not gain the title of apostle if you had not had a direct encounter with Jesus, okay? So we cannot, we cannot have someone who claims to be an apostle as is defined scripturally today. Okay, the apostles, you know, think of John, Peter, any of the disciples who were with him. The apostles had one great task. It was take the teachings and the ways that Jesus lived and share it with everyone they can see. And as they did this, they would rigorously teach what they had heard and learned from Jesus, so much so that Paul, in many of his letters, would say, "Do not stray from the teaching I have given you. Do not stray from the teaching I have given you." Why? Because when we start implementing our own bias and our own ideas into what God's word says and who Jesus is, we become deceived. What does it mean to be deceived? Well, it means to fall for a lie, essentially. To fall for a lie. One of the greatest tactics Satan and his minions use as they try to deceive the church and deceive followers of Christ is to present something that is 99% true, but 1% off. For example, something that gets presented to us is a belief that all religions really worship the same God. That is something that is seemingly true because all people who follow any religion respond to the same God at the end of their life, whether they've termed him this or termed him that. But in reality, our worship goes to one true God who, by the way, we worship a God who is three in one, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And for us to present our worship to any other God besides the Holy Trinity is not true Christianity. Okay. Do not be deceived, my brothers and sisters. This is on the tail end of him saying, when your sin has developed and matured, it will destroy you. It leads to death. Then he's saying, don't be deceived. Can you see the timely transition? Your sin, if it matures, will lead to death. So don't be deceived, my brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift, this is coming out of verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. This is our first point today. If you have your notes, if you don't, feel free to write this down. We serve a good God who is unchanging. Point number one, we serve a good God who is unchanging. What's the significance of God being unchanging? What's the significance of no shadow being cast from his turning? Well, what this means is that if at any point in our lives we have trusted in the goodness of God, like we sang about this morning, then that means that God's goodness hasn't changed, our perspective has. You following along with me? God's goodness has never changed because God is unchanging. Our perspective of his goodness and mercy to us has shifted. A lot of times we get so distracted. I want to give you a little word study here, okay? Let's talk about the word happy. I want you to write the word happy on your notes if you have them. The word happy comes from a root word, hap. Hap. This root word is also found in other words such as happening. Happenstance. Maybe you're following along with me as we're kind of getting there. Your happiness is centered completely around what's happening to you. Your happiness comes from what happens. You understand? What we see is that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, who is unchanging. Which means that no matter what happens to us, or no matter what level our happiness is at, God is good and unchanging. That is something to celebrate because your life is constantly changing. Your happiness will constantly be changing. Your surroundings will constantly be changing, but what will never change is God and his goodness to you. His love for you will never disappear. It will never go away. You can't do anything to make God love you more or less. You can't make God hate you. No matter what you do, God is unchanging, and every good and perfect gift comes down from him, the Father of lights. This language is interesting, though, right? Every good gift comes down from the Father of lights, and there is no shadow cast from his turning. It's a complete, you're going to remember this word from school, juxtaposition, right? We're comparing two things next to each other. The Father of lights, and there's no shadow cast from his turning. Why is there no shadow cast from his turning? Well, one way to interpret it is that he's unchanging, which I think is a good and healthy understanding of this scripture. Another way to determine it is no matter which way God turns, God himself is light, and so there will never be shadow cast from his turning. No matter where you turn, the shadows disappear because God is light. How do we understand this today? How do we apply this? Simply put, if we are trying to be a light in a dark world, we need first to look at the source of our light, God himself, the Father who every good gift comes down from. A couple weeks ago, I shared with you about how a good gift at the wrong time is a bad gift. This plays into it as well. Understand that everything that happens to you, everything that comes to you, is from God, and it's good. A good, good gift. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Let's continue on. Verse 18. By his own choice, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. A kind of first fruits of his creatures. This is interesting language. There are three times this phrase, first fruits, is really used in Scripture. The first time is talking about Adam and Eve. They are a first fruits of the earth. What does it mean to be first fruit? It means to be the first of its kind. Okay? Then we see it again with Jesus. Jesus is a first fruit of the Father. He is the only begotten Son of the Father. He is a type of first fruit, the first of his kind. And then we see that we are to become a kind of first fruits as his creatures. What are we talking about here? You need to understand that you and I are the pinnacle of God's creation. What do I mean by this? God himself was not created. If you've ever wondered if there's a time that God was born, he wasn't. He always has existed. He always will. He is outside of time and space, and there is no beginning nor an end to God. Hard to wrap our minds around? Don't try. It's true, though. He is outside of our existence while being intimately within our existence as well. Fascinating. The second part is this. We were created by God to honor God and to be in union with him. God created us to have a perfect relationship with him, and we did. Adam and Eve were the first fruits of creation. Not that they were the first thing created, but that they were at the pinnacle of what God had created. Well, then we talk about Jesus, right? Now, I don't want to lose you here. Jesus is not a created being. Even though Jesus had a physical birth, Jesus has existed forever and will continue to exist forever. Even though he had a physical birth, Jesus has always been and will always be. Again, hard to wrap our mind around, but true. The third is this, that we are to be a type of first fruits. The Bible says that we are new creations in Christ. The Bible says that we are new creations. So the original pinnacle creation, you and me, has now been restored and renewed to be a type of first fruits that is not like the first fruits of Adam and Eve that we are going to follow in their sin, but it's going to be the type of first fruits that we are following in the footsteps of Jesus to be light to a dark world. If you have more questions about that later, come find me. Let's go to verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. I want to pause here because I've heard it said a lot of times that it is unchristlike to be angry, that it is unchristlike to be upset about things. That's not true. We see Jesus get upset several times throughout the scriptures. If you're not sure about it, go back and read through the Gospels. You'll see he's upset quite a few times. An example, he's upset that Peter fell asleep when they're supposed to be praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. There is a difference between anger that leads us to go randomly punch someone and an anger that stems from people being mistreated. Okay, we're going to see this later. I'm kind of getting this ahead of myself here. But we're going to see that true and undefiled religion is this, taking care of orphans and widows. While there's specific two groups mentioned, there's a category they fall under. The idea is that we speak for the helpless. Not to say orphans and widows are entirely helpless, but to say for those who can't necessarily defend themselves, we ought to be advocates for them. Right? It's one of the reasons that so many of our families participate in foster care. There's such a great need, and people need someone to speak and take care of them and provide for them. For us as believers in Christ, something that should anger us, something that should bring about righteous anger, is when people who are made in the image of God are treated less than like they are made in the image of God. What do I mean by this? I mean acts of cruelty because of racism. I mean acts of cruelty because of ageism. I mean acts of cruelty. The list goes on and on. When people are treated unfairly and unjustly, it should stir up in us a righteous anger. Not that we're going to go punch someone outside of some doctor's office, but that we are going to go, and it is going to drive us first to pray and second to respond. Okay? Let me give you a word of advice that I was shared with a long time ago. And this applies, I believe. When talking about people who around you who are lost, the saying goes like this. Talk to God about them before you talk to them about God. Makes sense, right? Pray. Pray for God to soften the hearts of people you're going to interact with. Here's one of the hardest prayers I think all of us need to become accustomed to, is praying for our enemies. Whoever you deem as your enemy, okay? Whoever it is, whether it's the color of their skin, whether it's how they've treated you, whoever your enemy is, you ought to pray for them. And I assure you, your prayers will be heard in God's holy temple, as we saw in Jonah chapter 2, but also, God is going to soften your heart first and foremost. All people, anyone you meet, widow, orphan, whatever, they are all made in the image of God, and they are a type of first fruits that God has loved enough to send his son to die for. So if any of us ought to be angry about anything, it should be about any sort of injustice toward people. That should stir in us righteous anger. And that does accomplish the righteousness of God. Verse 21. So we've said, be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to anger. We've said that the human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Now we're moving forward. Therefore, when you see therefore, you ought to go back and read what it's there for. Okay? When you see therefore, you go back and read some before what happened. Therefore, since we are to be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to anger, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, humbly receive the implanted word which is able to save your souls. This is point two today. If you're taking notes, point two. Humbly receive the implanted word. Humbly receive the implanted word. It's there in verse 21. Implanted. What does this mean? What's the implanted word in our lives? The implanted word is the Holy Spirit in our lives. Humbly receive the implanted word, the Holy Spirit. We know God because God's word first came to us. We love God because God first loved us. We have received God's Holy Spirit because God, by his goodness, which is unchanging, by the way, has drawn us to himself so that we may trust in him. We are so desperately lost without God first drawing us near. So we ought to cast everything aside. Now, let's clarify what this means. This does not mean that you need to clean up your act before you come to God. Good luck. It will never happen. This does not mean that we need to be a perfect little Christian before God will accept us. Good luck. It will never happen. You can pretend to everybody else, but you can't pretend to God. What it means is that for us who have trusted in Jesus, humbly receive the implanted word. Don't rebel against God. Don't do everything you can to say, well, I have free will and I'm just going to do everything I want to do aside from God's will. Don't say, oh, God, I know you said to do this, but I don't want to do this. Humbly receive the implanted word. You have become the dwelling place of God. You have become the dwelling place of God. This is a big deal. This means that as you walk, God walks. As you are in a room, God is in a room. Not because of anything to do with you, but because of the goodness of God that He indwelled His Holy Spirit within you. Holy Spirit is one third of the Trinity, by the way, or I guess one way to say it would be 1/1, but that's complicated. I won't get into that. Humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. Let's talk about this. Have you ever thought you looked like something and then you walked outside and you looked like something else? Here's an example. During Holy Week, we had services every night. And, I get dressed to go, and I go, and Jim Schumann says, "Here, let me fix your collar for you." My collar was straight up, y'all. Embarrassing. Grace wasn't home that night. Embarrassing. I was so convinced. Last time I looked in the mirror, everything was good. I put on a tie. Anyway, whole story. The point is that we have walked away and forgotten who we are. None of us would look in a mirror and go, "Oh yeah, that's what I look like." Because we are so inundated with looking at ourselves and making sure our appearance is up to snuff, right? I mean, I guarantee I looked in the mirror. I mean, I looked in the mirror even after the baptism, make sure my tie wasn't crooked, and you're probably thinking it still is. All of these things, we've walked away from the mirror and forgotten who we are if we are hearers of the word and not doers. What does this mean? Every time God's word is spoken to us or spoken through us or spoken by us, it ought to stir us to action. I don't mean action like you're going to go out every 5 minutes and share the gospel with someone. That'd be amazing. That'd be great. What I mean, though, is if we are hearers only, we sit in church and we say, "Oh, that was a message. I won't even call it a good message. That was a message." And then you go home and you never think about God again until next Sunday, I would say that you are a hearer only and not a doer. And a hearer only is like someone who walks away from a mirror and has immediately forgotten what they look like and who they are. This is the third point today. Remember who God made you to be. Remember who God made you to be. You were not created to go about this life and do nothing for God. You were not created to spend your entire life sitting in a pew. You were not created to spend your whole life hearing about God but never doing anything for God. That is not what you were created for. You were created as an image bearer, if you want to write that down. It's like the word bear, the animal, ER. An image bearer. You are an image bearer. What does this mean? It means you carry around God's image with you. It is as if God took his ring, his signet, and stamped your life by the Holy Spirit and said, "This is my representative, and as he or she speaks, I am speaking. And as he or she lives, I am doing." We have an opportunity to represent the God of the universe, the God who loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us. We have an opportunity to be a representative for him, and many of us tend to use our opportunities and trash them. God could have used anybody to do his work. and instead, he chooses you to do his work. God could have picked any creature. God could have picked the squirrels. Just yesterday, my wife and I were having this silly conversation. Here's insight into our life. We saw this pretty fat squirrel on a tree. I mean, I'm not trying to take personal shots at him. I'm sure he's a nice squirrel. Pretty fat squirrel on a tree, and I just like a grace, and I say, you know what, like, the most unstoppable creature in the world would be like a human-sized squirrel. Think about it. I mean, fast, rabid, big teeth, scary, terrifying. And she said, it doesn't even have to be like human-sized, it could be dog-sized. And I said, yeah, that's scary too. And then I had nightmares about it. And the point is this. Do you know that God could have used squirrels to glorify him? Do you know God could have used alligators to glorify him? Do you know God could have used chickens to glorify him? Instead, God has chosen to use you and I to glorify him. Don't throw away your opportunity like the squirrels. You know what I mean? Don't waste your life by saying, I'm just going to sit in church and hear the word of God, but I'm never going to do anything about it. Don't say, I'm going to hear the gospel, but never share it with anyone. You are throwing away opportunity to glorify God when it is a good and perfect gift that you have the opportunity to glorify God. Remember who God made you to be. Don't walk away from the mirror and forget who you are or whose you are. You belong to God. And God has redeemed your life from the pit. Think about Jonah, right? Jonah said, I have sunk to the bottom of Sheol and I have died, and yet you raised my life up from the pit. This is all in Jonah chapter 2 during this prayer. You have raised my life up from the pit. All of us have been raised up from death to life if we trust in Jesus Christ. And we are God's, and he has made us to be his messengers. Don't be hearers only. Hearers only are like those who walk away from the mirror and forget who they are. I don't know about you, but I have made it a full-fledged effort to remember who I am and that my identity comes only from Jesus Christ. Verse 25, let's come to a conclusion here. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer who works, this person will be blessed and what he does. Verse 26. If anyone thinks he is religious without controlling his tongue, his religion is useless, and he deceives himself. Pause here. We are almost to the end of the chapter, except we've come full circle from where we started. Do not be deceived, brothers and sisters. Those who think they are religious but don't control their tongue deceive themselves. Don't be deceived, and people who do this deceive themselves. It's full circle. It's wrapping up the thought. We think James is referring to someone deceiving them, and he's actually saying you are deceiving yourselves by the lives you are living. You are deceiving yourselves if you think you are followers of the way, which is how they referred to themselves in the early church. You are deceiving yourselves if you think you are followers of Christ and yet you don't control your tongue. You are deceiving yourself if you say you are followers of Christ. Let's read this, verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world. What does it mean to be unstained from the world? When I was growing up, there was a movie that I was probably too young to watch called Bubble Boy. It was about this boy whose parents were terrified that he was going to go into the world and get sick, and he lived in a bubble in their house for his whole life. And as an adult, he kind of breaks free. Anyway, great movie, I think. I don't remember. I was like 5. Being unstained from the world does not mean that you do not participate and engage with people in the world who are dirty. It just means that you remember who you are. Every time you walk away from the mirror, you are not a hearer only, you are a doer. Every time you walk away from the mirror, you remember who you belong to. You are in this world, but not of this world. You are a first fruit of God's new creation. He has restored you and redeemed you. Pure and undefiled religion is this. So what does this mean at its core? Well, for us who want to be doers and hearers, we need to remind ourselves that we are to care for those who are hurting. We need to care for those who are broken. We need to care for those who are stained from the world. And if you're asking, Pastor, who's that? Think through it for just a moment. It's everyone. We are to care for everyone we encounter. Yes, there are specific people groups who need more care than others, and that's okay. We ought to be the first to respond, not the last. We ought to be the first to encourage, not discourage. No, we are not encouraging someone's lifestyle by caring for them. We are loving them and trusting God to sort out the details. I think many of us get this confused. If you need to talk about this more after, we can talk about this. We are not the people who stop people from sinning. We are just the people who introduce them to the King of Kings, who can cleanse them from their sins. It is not me who stops you from sinning, it is the Holy Spirit who stops you from sinning. So let us encourage and expand the kingdom of God by sharing this truth that Jesus Christ has died for the sins of everyone, all who would believe. As we close today, let me just remind you that if we are going to be doers of the word, that means that we need to step up in a sense. That we can no longer just sit aside and wait for pastors or deacons or other leadership or people who are good at speaking in front of others be the ones who share the gospel. But if every single person in this room would be faithful to respond and share the gospel with someone who is lost, then I guarantee we would start to see true revival. Not revival like a bunch of church people are gathering to be re-energized, but revival that those who were dead will come to life in Christ because we have been faithful doers of the word, faithful doers who have said, God, you have given me this great opportunity, and I will not squander it. In a moment, we're going to have a time of response, and here's what I encourage you to respond to. Two things, and I want to make these very specific. The first is this. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, stop wasting your life. Respond now. You have an opportunity for the rest of your days to honor God, and you can join in right now. So respond. I'd love to share more with you about that. The second is this, and we haven't really done this before in our 8 weeks together. If you feel like God is leading you into ministry, if you feel like God is leading you to a life of serving Him and serving His church, would you come talk to me and let's talk through that? I think our church as a whole, when I say church, I don't mean First Baptist Glenville, but church as in all believers in Christ, we are suffering a shortage because men and women haven't been called to do what they're supposed to do. And so if you feel like God is leading you into ministry and you want to learn more about how you can join in on this kingdom work, I want you to respond as well. Come talk with me. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your goodness and mercy to us. And Lord, I just pray that as we have gathered here together to praise you, to honor you, to hear from you, Lord, would you help us transition from hearers to doers? Would you help us transition from sitting on our rear end to kneeling before you, to kneeling before others, pleading that they trust in you? God, I pray for the people in this room that if any of them have not trusted in you as their Lord and Savior,
I pray much like Riley May did this morning, that they would be willing to be bold and make a public profession of their faith. And Lord, whatever you need to do to stir in our hearts to get us to move, please do it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand and sing with me. Just as you are, hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are, come and see, come receive, come and live.
Church, thank you so much for joining us today. Even if you didn't respond during that song and are still interested in learning more about Jesus or maybe a call to ministry, my office is almost always open for you. So please come talk to me. You don't have to wait to respond till a Sunday. You can respond anytime. Thank you so much for being here. I'd just like to pray. I'd like to encourage you to join us tonight for our evening service, which starts at 6 o'clock. We are digging into the book of Acts. It'll be a great study and time of worship. So let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your mercy. And thank you for your love for us. I pray that as we go from this place, that we will not be just hearers, but doers. And that we will respond accordingly to what you have taught us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.